Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sukanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Happy Labor Day to you out there. Got you covered here. Full show today, 3 to 7. We'll do what? In the news coming up at 4:30, 4:15-ish, we will have Mike Lynch's award-winning Stock Watch.
Did it win an award? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it won an award.
Okay.
Don't ask questions. People always ask me all the time, how was the show? Award-winning as far as you know.
Right.
Yeah, people throw that all the time. You can say whatever you want. It's like, the number one show this and the highest rated. You can make anything remotely true. Does anyone actually check any of these claims?
Fake news.
Yeah. Well, and even if you get caught lying, that's all you have to say. You can be like, no, it's not. Just hold fast to whatever it is you're saying. I see that all the time. You're driving around. It's like world's best chicken. I don't know if that's the world's best chicken. Award-winning burritos. Has anyone done any research onto that? Like you walk by and someone says best Hawaiian food in town. According to who?
Yeah, according to one Yelp review.
Well, I don't know.
You can probably put that on a sign if a Yelp review put it out there, though, right?
Sure, right? If I say that so-and-so has the best Chinese food, can't you just say, hey, best Chinese food in town? That guy said it.
Of course.
Yeah.
You can maybe have to put a little asterisk or something and say from one review on Yelp, but that's in really small print that nobody looks at. So
exactly. So when I tell you that the Stockwatch is award-winning, you just say, damn right, it's award-winning.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if the Pac-12 is going to win any awards week one officially in the books. Like I've seen a lot of people obviously now that want to tear the Pac-12 apart, but I would make the argument when you look around college football, the Pac-12 isn't any better or any worse than most of the Power 5 conferences. The only thing that the Pac-12 lacks right now, and we don't even know if it lacks it, we just haven't seen it this year about you need one or two teams that can be elite. So right now, Oregon, it would appear, is on the back burner. Although I would make the argument if you're a Duck fan, everything you want is right before you. If Oregon runs the table the rest of the way and wins the Pac-12 championship, Oregon's in the college football playoff.
Yep. One loss, especially in week one, is way less important than a loss late in the season, too, as we found out.
And it's going to be to an Auburn team who I still think Auburn ends up being an 8 or 9 win team. I don't think Auburn's winning the SEC. If that's the way your offense is going to play and that's your quarterback and he doesn't grow leaps and bounds, Auburn's going to get housed by some teams. LSU, Georgia, Alabama, A&M. Look, there's going to be some losses there for Auburn. But it's still, that Oregon loss, I think, as long as Auburn doesn't completely fall off the map, that's going to be forgiven because it ended up being a one score loss to Auburn.
Last second throw.
Yeah, let's not act like you went down there and you got your ass kicked. Like UW did the same thing last year. They went down to Auburn and it hurt UW, but it didn't put UW out of the running. Now you lose again and Oregon's out. You're not going to get in as a two-loss team. You're not from the Pac-12. You're probably not going to get in as a two-loss team anywhere. Clemson and Alabama aren't getting in as a two-loss team unless you get a ton of help. So Oregon, if you look at the rest of the way, you have to be perfect. Do we think Oregon's going to be perfect? I would say clearly not. One, I think the schedule is a lot harder than it was last year. And if these things are going to be reoccurring problems for Oregon, whether that be scheme, whether that be clock management, whether that be game planning, halftime adjustments, and while we don't have a huge body of evidence to go on, from what you've seen a season and a game in, yeah, there's some reason to be concerned. I don't think the idea of Oregon running the table is probably a realistic one, but that doesn't mean that you can't win the Pac-12 North. You can't go on and play in the Rose Bowl. So your season certainly isn't over, but if you're the Pac-12 right now, you need Utah, you need UW, You need Washington State. You need someone. Because to me, when I looked at the Pac-12, UW and Utah appear to be the two teams that are going to give you the best shot. And we won't know about UW probably for a couple of weeks. Because
when's their first big game? Is it Oregon?
No, I think they got Stanford and USC before they get Oregon.
USC doesn't count anymore without JT Daniels, most likely. But
no. And UW doesn't play anyone in the preseason. I'm scrolling here to take a look at their schedule. Let's see. UW has...
What's the next big Pac-12 game that will make a statement?
There are not many. Because there isn't. I think UCLA may play another big game.
Well, that's not a statement game, though, because we all know UCLA sucks.
So UW has Eastern Washington that they housed. And by the way, Jacob Eason looked really good. Right, and this is the other thing that you can say about anyone that played a tough game in week one. If Oregon or Florida State had played Sister Mary of the Poor, we're talking about Florida State and we're talking about Oregon completely different, right? But you didn't. You played real teams. You played Boise State. You played Auburn. You lost both of those games. You let those slip away. UW plays Eastern Washington, and they look like gangbusters.
Stanford plays UCF in week three.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a statement because they're not an FBS team.
It's going to look bad, though.
UCLA plays Oklahoma. That's going to look bad.
That's the other one. I thought UCLA played someone, and they're going to lose by 50.
Washington State plays Houston?
Yeah, that's in a couple weeks. And Houston got embarrassed early on by Oklahoma, but I think a lot of people are going to get embarrassed. I saw some of that, and Houston actually rebounded a little bit and played a lot better in the second half and made that respectable. But UW's got Cal, Hawaii, BYU, which they should roll over all of that. And then they get USC at home, at Stanford, at Arizona, and then Oregon and Utah. UW season will be Oregon and Utah.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, no, Cal looked awful against UC Davis. They were losing that game for much of the first half, 10-0. Cal's offense is bad. They haven't figured out anything there on the offensive side of the ball.
Stanford didn't look great. I mean, I know Costello got hurt, but even with him in there, he didn't look great against Northwestern.
They didn't look great. I'm here to tell you, I'm starting to wonder if you want like my hot Stanford, my hot Pac-12 take.
I'm going to say your first hot take was Bo Nix is no good.
He's not. Right now, he may be good, but anyone telling you that that's the start of some legendary quarterback didn't watch that football game. Bo Nix was not good in that game.
All right, so give me your hot Pac-12 take of the day.
I'm starting to wonder if Stanford, the glory days of Stanford, are behind us. It's been a number of years now, to me, since Stanford has been, one of the top six or seven teams in the country. There was a couple years in a row where I thought Stanford had the one hiccup, right, where they would shoot themselves in the foot. And minus that, you're like, dude, that's as good as any team in the country. And Stanford hasn't looked like that in a while. And I watched them. I watched a good vast majority of that Northwestern game. And I'm with you. Even before Costello got hurt. And by the way, I didn't think that was like an awful cheap shot. I don't think that there was any reason for the Northwestern guy to go over the top of him. But when a quarterback's running, I mean, I get it. You've got some forward momentum, but he didn't lower his head. He hit him with a forearm.
I mean, he kind of clotheslined him sideways.
Yeah, I didn't think
so hard that the chin strap was stuck on his head after the helmet popped off.
Some of that is momentum. Look, it obviously there was a penalty. I didn't think that was malicious and that he was trying to take his head off. It wasn't like a complete clean and like, no harm, no foul. But I also don't think that it was, you know, he's not the butcher of Bakersfield out there trying to take anyone's head off. I kind of viewed the same way the Herbert knee-to-knee hit that the Auburn kid had that caused him to go out of the game. There was probably no reason for that Auburn kid to make any kind of sort of contact with him. He probably could have pulled to the left and avoided him completely. But at the same time, the Auburn kid stopped. He held up. He tried to reach his arm out. He happened to hit it knee on knee. I think that kid's arm was dangling down and it happened to catch him like underneath the chin. Some of that is just bad luck, bad timing. I don't think either one of those were intentionally bad hits. But even before that happened, Stanford didn't look very good to me. And I don't know what Northwestern has on offense, but I didn't feel that Stanford particularly looked swarming on defense. I thought some of that looked like bad Northwestern offense. And I'm just starting to wonder if Stanford really can be considered an elite program. I think Stanford's a damn good program, and I like David Shaw. But from a talent standpoint, I just wonder if it's just too hard year in and year out to get those kids in and continually churn out top 10, top 12 teams in the country. Because to me, Stanford doesn't look like that. And so you take Stanford out of the mix. I really do think that you're kind of left with UW. You're left with Utah. And then maybe a side of Washington State. But again, we don't know anything about Washington State. We don't know anything about UW because they didn't play anyone. And Utah can run the ball. They can play defense. Do they have any quarterback whatsoever? And that we won't know for a while, right? Give Utah time to figure that out. But when I look up and down the Pac-12, there's bad teams at the bottom. There just is. There's garbage teams. Arizona's bad. UCLA's bad. Oregon State's bad. I think Cal, we'll wait and see if Cal can figure something out on offense.
I'm not sure Colorado's all that good either.
No, I mean, you thumped Colorado State. USC, I think, is in for it, especially with JT Daniels being out for the rest of the year. The Jack Sears kid, they're going to try to get to come back, but he was the kid that transferred, went into the portal. Supposedly they're trying to win him back, see if he can get back in the fold. But I didn't think USC looked like
he was
beaters.
Fourth in there. Depth chart at the start of the season anyway, yeah. So I'm not sure how much he helps.
Clay Helton tried to give that game away to Fresno State at the end, going for it on his own side of the 50, and all they needed an interception in the end zone to fix that. So for all the things that went wrong with the Pac-12, it was just as bad a weekend for the SEC. It was an even worse weekend for the ACC.
Big Ten, Purdue losing.
You just need Oregon to buckle their chin strap and rebound from this and put together a solid season, and you need to me, one of the three teams, UW, Washington State, Utah, you need one of those teams to go on a run to be an undefeated or a one-loss team. And if that doesn't happen, then the hatred and the disrespect for the Pac-12, it's going to come in bunches. But right now, trying to say that the Pac-12 sucks, welcome to the world of college football. Because outside of the top six or seven teams in the country, I don't know how many people really made a great statement in week one of college football. All right, we come back. The award-winning, as far as you know, at Stockwatch, starring the great Mike Lynch. Primetime here on The Fan.
Which is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
Yeah, do that. Unless you love your wife or husband, then, you know, don't do that. But hey, 50% of us at some point. Looking right at you, Mike Lynch.
Nah, that's not going to happen.
You were Rob, right? 50%. Odds are it's going to happen. Start planning for the future now.
Time to defeat the odds then, huh?
Start stockpiling gold. Start hiding assets.
Gold in my mattress. Okay. That sounds comfortable.
Nah, she'll get the mattress. Your wife will take the bed in the divorce. Come on.
We have two beds, though.
Ooh.
One in the guest room.
Look how fancy. I don't have a guest room. Must be nice. Must be nice to be Mike Lynch.
You don't actually have a guest room?
No. Oh. I don't have a guest room. I got kids. All the time, it's like, hey, you want to be a guest in my house, Sofa City, sweetheart? I downsized. I got a little 1,700 square foot pad. I got no room for guests. My oldest daughter came home from college. I'm like, you better go talk to grandma. You got no room. Either that or you're sleeping in my office. I'll put out a cot for you.
Hey, that's not that bad. Cots are nice sometimes.
Yeah, I got a cot.
Or an air mattress, right? A little fill-up camping air mattress.
I got a hammock.
That doesn't sound comfortable to sleep in for an entire night.
Why are hammocks? I have a hammock that it's a great napping hammock, and you can pass out in it, but you're right. Like, hammocks are, it's a napping apparatus. You can't full-on sleep. Like, everyone, like, in college, like, every one of your drug buddies tried that at some point. It doesn't work. Look, it's good for the lumbar.
Yeah, because you're curled up, like curved the entire time, and you can't move because you're in the hammock.
Yeah, it's right out.
I like to move when I sleep, and the fear of falling down and out of what my bed is sounds really not fun.
My dog does that sometimes. He'll be sleeping on the bed or the couch, and he rolls over and just goes a little too far, takes a bit of a tumble. Then always just like he gets that like startled, like, what the hell happened? Like, hey, sorry, man.
Tried to save you, but not really. Yeah.
I've said it before, I think the reality is I'm not the same player I was as an 18-year-old freshman, a 19-year-old sophomore, and last year, getting the time I did have. So I think we've been working as a team. I think we've tried to take those steps and did some good things tonight, but we got to continue to take some steps to be where we want to be and do the things we want to do.
That is Oklahoma quarterback Jalen Hurts. Buy or sell, Lincoln Riley will coach Hurts into a Heisman finalist.
Yeah, they looked really, really good. I mean, at this point, and Jalen Hurts, by the way, I think it was 26-2 as a starter. He was the SEC Freshman of the Year. I think he was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year his sophomore year. Jalen Hurts is, it's not like he hasn't been good before. I don't know if you saw any of Oklahoma and Houston, but like Houston's not a bad football team, and they made them look silly. I mean, at this point, if you're a quarterback, why wouldn't you go play for Lincoln Riley? Just go out, like, you can go on Twitter and you can find some of the people doing detailed breakdowns of some of the offensive, like, wrinkles that he's throwing in. Some of the play designs that they have, some of their play actions, some of the RPOs they do, or in this case, they're calling them PROs, pass run options. Just from a scheme standpoint and the pressure it puts on the defense and the avenues it opens up for Hurts to run or just finding guys wide open. Dude, that guy's going to put up huge, huge numbers. And Oklahoma, who now appears to have a defense to go along with it, is probably going to be in the conversation of the college football playoff. And what are those two things combined? Jalen Hurts will be a finalist. Don't know if he'll win it, but Jalen Hurts will be a finalist in New York.
And I just got to wonder, who thought it was a good idea to play Wyoming in Laramie when you're an SEC team? What? Why would you do that? But I'll tell you, the SEC at the top had some outstanding domination, but the SEC prides itself in being strong top to bottom. The bottom half struggled.
Trevor Manich right there on the SEC struggles this weekend. Buy or sell, the SEC had a worse weekend than the Pac-12?
No, it didn't, because the SEC bottom of it was embarrassing, right? Tennessee losing, was it to Georgia State?
Nah. It's a 28-point underdog.
That's bad. Missouri.
At home, too.
Yeah. Kelly Bryant, not so much, right? So there's certainly some bad losses there, although Ole Miss losing to Memphis, I think Ole Miss was actually the underdog.
They were the underdog in that one, yeah.
In that game. So the SEC.
Arkansas barely beat Portland State.
Yeah. Good. Arkansas is dog ass and has been for a number of years, but none of those things really hurt the reputation of the SEC, right? It doesn't matter that the bottom of the SEC sucks. You still have Alabama, you still have LSU, you still have A&M, you still have Georgia, right? Those are all legitimate college football playoff contending teams, and we know that they're going to be there. And by the way, Auburn, who I don't think is a playoff contending team, just knocked off what many people thought was the best team in the Pac-12 with a freshman quarterback. So unfortunately, no, the SEC's reputation will be just fine. The Pac-12, on the other hand, you did get embarrassed with some of your bottom teams, and I think that impact is greater on the Pac-12 than it is on the SEC, because everyone gives the SEC the benefit of the doubt. And one of your top teams, see Oregon, one of your top three teams, went down and laid an egg at the end of that game against Auburn, a game to me that they should have won. And so to me, the reputation of the Pac-12 took a much bigger blow than the SEC, thus leaving it a worse weekend. We had the worst week, actually, was still the ACC. Nine teams in the ACC lost. Nine.
Not mine.
Outside of Syracuse, who actually might actually be pretty good this year, and Clemson, dude, the ACC is dog poo.
Good.
The ACC sucks.
More teams to lose to Syracuse. Yeah.
Syracuse may end up being like a 10-win team in that league.
They were last year.
Say that. You know, stick with us. We understand they're disappointed. We are too. Stick with us. Well, we're going to get out of this. I can promise you that. And again, we can't sit around and just talk about it. And we got to be about it. We got to do it on the football field. And I tell our fans, just like I tell you all, this one game would not define us. Our guys are going to bounce back. And we're going to make them proud of this football team.
That sounds very familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
And I don't know how you can promise that you can turn that around when you haven't done that before. But
nope.
Willie Taggart, after Florida State's loss to Boise State, buy or sell Taggart fired after this season?
I would say yes, but I've heard enough people down there that claim that he's got the support and they don't want to pay him to go away. Believe it or not, Florida State is cheap. And that it's a budgetary thing, and they feel that Jimbo did not do him a lot of favors and kind of left the cupboard bare. So unless it's just an abomination, and I don't think it will be. I don't know if you watched any of Florida State.
I watched most of that game, man.
I thought Florida State looked great in the first half. They were beating the hell out of Boise State.
Also sounds familiar.
Yeah, and then in the second half, it spiraled out of control on both sides of the ball. I don't know what the hell happened. But Florida State with Briles running their offense and just the raw talent they have and that crappy ACC, I'll bet you they still end up reeling off 8-9 wins. And that'll be enough because Florida State's cheap. I do think Willie Taggart's a fraud. I don't think he's a culture builder. I think he's a bit of a snake oil salesman, but there's enough talent down there, and I think their offense is going to be good enough. They're going to win plenty of games, and so no, I do not think that Willie Taggart will get fired at the end of this year.
There was a substantial amount of progress made in their conversations on Saturday night, and the Cowboys fully expected that on Sunday they were going to announce that they had assigned Elliott to an extension. And then when they heard from Rocky Arsenault for the first time yesterday, he took the discussion back to where it had been previous to those most recent conversations and made some demands that Cowboys thought they were past.
Ed Werder, haven't heard from him in a while, on the Cowboys Ezekiel Elliott update. Buy or sell Zeke signs in time to play on Sunday.
Well, I would have told you before today that was a done deal. Everything you heard, like Schefter was like, look, this thing can happen any moment.
And from that report, it sounds like the Cowboys thought it was done, and then Zeke's agent came back with things they had thought they were past.
Yeah, it sounds like from what I've heard is right, they were going to try to give him more upfront money, but not as much total money, and that they were going to be okay with that, and that it was going to put him right there near the top, but maybe not on average. Like, I want to know, is this simply about being able to say I'm the highest paid running back in the league? You wonder at this point if it's just an ego thing. And he's like, no, I'm the best back in the NFL. I want to be able to say I'm the highest paid back. And if that's the case,
if I'm a Cowboys, just pay him then. My God.
It doesn't sound like the Cowboys are going. To me, it sounds like the Cowboys are the ones being reasonable about this. And that Elliott and company are going to go back and do this kind of pig-headed approach. And Dallas, I'm going to say no, he's not back in time. Because the Cowboys went and got another running back to try to bolster their core. So that lets you know that Dallas is at least concerned that he's not going to be back in time. And I saw that Garrett said there's no actual timetable needed for him to come back.
I was seeing people say he needed to be signed by Wednesday or else he couldn't be acclimated into the game. But
look,
Garrett said there was no time.
No, so the guy's ready. He's in shape. So we'll see what happens. But you know, I'll sell this. I don't. I think he misses week one.
Well, for those of you who drafted Ezekiel Elliott, I hope you drafted Tony Pollard as well like I did, because now I have a running back no matter what.
There you go.
That's it. That's the last one.
Oh, that's it?
That was four.
Oh.
It's always four. Three if it's like a really short segment.
Oh, look at us. All right. Stockwatch brought to you by Goldberg Jones. When it comes to your divorce, custody and child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. Call 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. All right, we come back in the news. Here, though, Lynch with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back in on this gorgeous Monday, Labor Day. So probably there's like three people listening to us right now, but hey, we're still here. Why? Because the boss said so.
Yeah, that's usually the case every Labor Day because it's the first week after college football.
It's a company holiday. Like I don't think there's anyone else in the building.
There's one other person in the building.
Who's in the building?
Somebody from The Buzz, I believe, is in the building.
Okay.
I think Cheryl is here.
The boss was here, Jeff Baton Rouge. Like, whenever he makes us do these sorts of shows, and no one really understands why, but, you know, he's the boss. He makes the rules. Although, with it being a company holiday, can he technically do that? Could we refuse to show up today and be like, no, it's a holiday? I mean, Rob did it.
I don't know.
Is Rob just smarter than the rest of us? Is Rob just, like, pulling a Captain Morgan power play right now, leg up on the table? Like, no. Not working today. It's a holiday.
I mean, Jeff Baton Rouge likes to come in and show solidarity when he makes us.
I do appreciate. Work these days. I do appreciate that he does that. That's what I'm saying. He like makes a token appearance.
But I think he was here all day. But he always leaves before this show starts, and it's like, well,
yeah.
Can we leave?
I don't know when he showed up, but like, I always laugh because whenever I come in on days like today, it's true. Like, there's not one other car out in the parking lot. Like, you walk in and I see you and we both have that look like, God. And then like Jeff comes around the corner like, hey guys, here with you. And
hey guys, taking off now.
Yeah, I'm going to take off.
I'm going to go to the gym.
Yeah. He's going to go work his remedial squat thrust seminar that he's got going on
in
his Duke t-shirt. But if you are driving around, hey, we got you covered. Full show. We got Hot 5 at 5 coming up. We'll get into, obviously, some NFL college football stuff in the 5 o'clock hour. And then Club 1080 with a bar question of what do you do? I needed like a John Quinones. What would you do that I had on Friday night? The appropriate way to handle things.
By the way, my mom's cousin just on that show the other week.
You're right the hell out of town.
Yeah.
What were they doing?
There was somebody who was deaf in a restaurant and the waiter treated them really poorly. Oh. And she stood up for the person. So
did she really?
Yeah. Oh. Apparently they cut a lot of the really bad stuff that she said and made it look a little bit nicer, but she
just start going off. Like
apparently. Yeah.
Oh, kick ass. I want to see, is it aired yet?
I think it aired. Yeah.
Oh, I want to see. I've never known anyone that's been on any of those things.
My aunt was also on it, but they didn't air that episode.
Yeah.
They filmed it.
What the hell is with the Lynch family and what would you do? Well, I'm guessing they film a lot around New York, New Jersey. Right?
That would make sense, yeah.
I would assume that it's, you know, Connecticut and all that. I doubt that John Quinones is getting on a flight to come out to Portland to film those.
Pretty sure it's pretty exclusively in that area, yeah. So there's higher chances, I guess. Still a lot of people, but.
Plus, I figure when you're out on the East Coast more, I think you get more reactionary people because they're all wound up anyways. Just like looking to cause problems.
Probably true.
All right. Well, it is Labor Day. It is September 2nd, the year of our Lord 2019. And that means it is time for In the News. I am not your noted newsman, but I am your news contributor here with Isaac Robb being out. Try to take care of you today. It is National Blueberry Popsicle Day, if that does anything for you. I don't know why blueberry as opposed to just National Popsicle
Day.
That's
random.
I know. Can I just say that I don't even like popsicles?
No, popsicles are overrated.
Yeah. I suppose on a hot day, if you offered me a popsicle, maybe I'd take it if it was like a root beer one, perhaps. But why would I have a popsicle when there's many other frozen delicious treats?
I can just have ice cream.
Yeah.
Why do I need a popsicle?
Yeah, give me a pudding pop.
I feel like a popsicle stops being acceptable to eat when you're 8 years old.
I'm going to go younger than that.
Once you're 8, don't eat a popsicle.
Yeah, when you're a kid, you don't know any better. You're happy. It's something sweet, sugary.
The ice cream truck comes around, and it's shaped like Shrek, and you're like, ooh,
yeah,
I like Shrek.
Like one of those rocket pops or whatever. You know, I guess. Like, kids like to. But it's like cotton candy. No one wants that. It's a bastard thing. Get it out of there and give me something delicious. It's also National VJ Day, which, when I saw that, I thought they were talking about, like, MTV, like VJs, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what else would be a VJ?
Well, a lot of things could be a VJ, but I'm not going to go there because this is a friendly children's show.
It's National Victory Over Japan Day. That's what National VJ is, or National VJ Day. It is September 2nd, 1945, that the Japanese officially surrendered to us, ending World War II.
Oh, okay.
Which actually turned out to be, you know, I was like, oh.
Do we have to call it VJ Day? That's very uncomfortable.
That's what I said. When I originally saw VJ, I was like, eh. Like, if I told you that, like, it was a VJ Day, immediately you go to, like, a bad place.
Not a bad place.
I go to a bad place.
Just a sexual place.
Just VJ? Eh. Sounds bad.
It's a day celebrating VJ Singh? What?
Just think of something jaundice. Let's just immediately go to all the horrific things that I can come up with. And then, obviously, today it's also Labor Day. So, you know, if you have the day off today, I don't know, be grateful. It's Labor Day. It's nice. What do we got here? After 50 years, the Undersea Gardens is closing on the Oregon coast. You ever been to the Undersea Gardens?
I have not. Is that in Newport?
That is in Newport.
Hmm.
Yeah, that big glass building out there.
Is that attached to the aquarium? Is it the aquarium?
It's the aquarium.
The aquarium is closing down.
Yeah, it's the Undersea Gardens.
Oh.
So.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. And they say it is going to be free if you want to go take one last look from September 3rd to September 8th. All the dive shows are going to end after Monday, September 2nd. The gift shop will remain open till October 11th, but it is free admission from the 3rd to the 8th. And then after 50 years, kaput.
I'm very confused.
It's going away.
Because I've heard a lot of mixed things about that place, but it's in such a perfect location for an aquarium. How could it have sucked?
I don't know. They said that I was reading through the article, and it said the ownership, they said it aligns with the upcoming renovations to, what do they call that? Mariner Square? Because you have the Ripley's Believe It or Not thing there, and then the Wax Museum.
I've actually never been to Newport, so I am unfamiliar with what you were talking about.
Well, so like there's this... It's the only, like, three, like, big attractions. So you got the aquarium and then the Wax Museum and then the Ripley's, Believe It or Not. And so they said that they're going to renovate the other two and have, like, brand new experiences. And so I'm guessing you just ran out of money. I'm guessing it was the least profitable of the three and you're dumping money into the other two because the owners, they own all three. So that's what I would assume.
So
they
then
don't
where
really
do we get to go for our aquarium fun?
I don't know. San Francisco?
Go to Monterey Bay Aquarium?
Yeah, there you go.
That's a good one.
Aquariums are cool, though, right?
Go up to Seattle. The Seattle Aquarium's pretty good.
Yeah,
I like aquariums.
I got no issue with aquariums. Yeah, they're pretty solid. I'm kind of looking through here.
They're all about the same. I mean, if you go to one that's really known for being a good aquarium, you can tell the difference. But, I mean, you'll get to see your jellyfish, and maybe there's an octopus somewhere, and, you know, maybe there's, like, a really, really cool outdoor area where you can see some sea lions playing or something. But, I mean, when you go to an aquarium, you know what you're getting into.
Pretty much.
It's a fun couple hours, but it's about the same.
Yeah, and the kids like it. You go and...
There's the touch tank.
Yeah, and the highlight is when you walk through the tunnel and, like, the nurse shark floats above you. The rays are always kind of cool.
Surprisingly good aquarium was the one in Mandalay Bay in Vegas.
Yeah, that one's legit.
I actually really enjoyed that one.
I'm with you on that. One last story here before we go to break. I thought this was, well, it's not good, but I found it hilarious. Now, when you think of someone stealing an ATM, right?
Apparently, by the way, it's not the aquarium that's closing. The text line is correcting us. The Undersea Gardens is different.
That's different?
Than the aquarium.
I thought the Undersea Gardens was the aquarium.
Well, I had not been there, so I didn't know. But apparently, the aquarium is staying open. So, hey, if you want to go to an aquarium, you can still go to Newport.
Oh. Okay. I thought they were one and the same. I haven't been to that thing in, God, I don't know how long. I mean, it's probably been 20 years since I've been there. I always thought that was one and the same.
This is why you're the fill-in newsman there, Sook.
Wrong. Fake news. Wrong.
Space Force.
All right, so the aquarium's still open. Undersea Gardens. Doesn't that... Undersea Garden... Isn't that just sound like the aquarium?
I don't know. Well, I was following your lead, Mr. Newsman.
Yeah. Well, I made an assumption, and apparently I was totally wrong. Either that or these people that are texting in are totally wrong, but I'm going to go ahead and say that no. People are very adamant about it. They take their aquariums very seriously. When you think of ATM heist, right, I think of something kind of big like Heat. You go in, like, fully armored up, right? You steal the ATM. There's a waiting car out there. You dive in the back of it. You peel out.
I don't know. I always think about the random tractor U-Haul story we have from here.
Yes. Like, someone just took a U-Haul, like a backhoe, rammed it in, scooped it up in the bucket.
And then traded to two different cars and got away.
Yes, but like that, right? Like, there's a lot that goes in. You just don't walk in and you steal an ATM, right? Apparently, you do. And all it takes is a hand truck and a cardboard box. A man walked into a Milwaukee hospital this month and left with an ATM with $17,000 inside.
So I'm picturing he took a large cardboard box,
yes,
placed it over the ATM,
yes,
so that it didn't appear like it was an ATM.
Yes.
And then acted as a construction worker, took it away on the handcart, and then somehow opened it at his house. Isn't that always the toughest thing to open? Isn't
that
what
I've been
told?
Yeah, they say it's really difficult. And that a lot of people, like, if you do end up stealing it, like, you can't get into it anyways. And I'm assuming there's, like, some sort of low jack on it, too. They didn't realize it was gone for an entire day. The best is they've got photos of him.
That's, and so
this was at a hospital, by the way. You know, you walk into those places, you know, businesses or in hospitals, they just have the little portable ATMs, and they're sitting right there. And they say that he walked in, and he did. He believed to have, he covered the ATM with a box while in the medical center, and then he cut the attached wires, and then he wheeled it away and put it in the back of a Subaru. He'd get a Subaru Outback, and he just loaded it in the back of his Subaru and drove off.
Whistling as he walks.
Milwaukee police say they haven't seen the machine, the cash, or the alleged thief ever since, and are seeking the public's help to find the person. And they've got great video of it. You can spot it. You can look right here. The agency says anyone with information should contact, they've got to basically contact the Milwaukee Police Department. And that was my favorite part of the story, is the hospital didn't realize it was gone until the next day. Someone was like, wasn't there an ATM over there? Yeah, woo, I think there was. What happened to it? I don't know. The only person that's been over there, I saw a man wheeling a cardboard box out, though. Couldn't have been the ATM.
That's so funny.
That's my favorite story that we've had in quite some time. And to just see the photo, the man didn't panic at all. He was there for a long time. Just no one noticed him putting a cardboard box over it. All right, we come back. We've got rent news. We've got people in bars causing problems.
We've also got audio of a crazy guy from Florida.
Yes, we have hot hurricane news. And $60,000 in damages done to Crater Lake. All that when we come back and the news rolls on.
From
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back in. Hot 5 at 5 coming up here in just a few minutes. Smack dab in the middle of in the news. I just saw that Hurricane Doreen, we now have an official hurricane warning.
Dorian.
Yeah, we have official alert warning for much of Florida. And then if you go up a little bit, then we have the hurricane watch. A new advisory is just in. But apparently
that thing was a Category 5 sitting on top of the Bahamas for what looked like two straight days. It did not move.
No, just they said it like got there and then just hung out. Apparently it liked the Bahamas. It was just hanging out like they...
Apparently not much because it's destroying it right now.
Well, I saw some video where like the storm surge they said was reaching the second floor of homes.
I saw a video of
people were in attics and having to vacate the attics because the floodwaters were that high.
I saw a video of someone on their second floor videoing their first floor, and the water was above the window and the couches were all floating around and everything. It was terrifying.
Yeah. But hey, someone's got an idea on how to combat hurricanes.
Yes.
Now, this just goes to show you how stupid people are. We always have the idea that, like, you or your friends or the general public, and it's just not true. And then every time you have something like this, like a catastrophe, someone comes up with a brilliant idea, and you get to have an idea on exactly what the general public is really all about. And this is a legit guy. This is not an act. This is someone with an idea on what we can do about these hurricanes.
Can't see how they haven't come up with some kind of way to combat these storms yet. They keep saying, three days ago, oh, it said this, but it's going to hit all this warm weather. All this warm weather and warm water. We have a Navy. Why don't the Navy come and drop ice in the warm water so it can't get going as fast as it's going? There's got to be ways to combat this instead of just pointing at the thing and saying, well, now it's getting worse. Yeah, we know it's getting worse. But you tell us, oh, it's the warm weather. Oh, it's the wind. Well, we have an Air Force. Drive some Air Force planes around to get the winds going the opposite way. Get the Navy to go in circles to fight it the other way.
Yeah.
Well.
Just drop some ice. We have a Navy, don't we?
Have we ever tried these things? Maybe he's a genius.
Drop some ice in the ocean.
Fly the planes the opposite direction as the hurricane and make the wind stop, Soup. Duh.
Superman did that once, right? Like Lois Lane died, and then he just says that Superman, is that Superman 1 or 2? He spins really fast the other way, and it turns back the Earth, and it rolls back time. Problem solved.
Turn back time.
Now with Rop out, we have a new songbird of our generation. Yeah. So if you are out there,
nowhere near as good as Rob.
If you have relatives out there in Florida or along the Carolinas, be safe out there. That's some scary stuff. Can't say I've ever been in a hurricane, and quite frankly, don't want to be in one.
It is. Looks like it is dodging Florida for the most part. At first, it looked like it was going to hit it directly and actually cross over the state, but now it's kind of curling up the coast.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like northern Florida, they're giving you the hurricane warning. But it's not going to, they say if it does hit, it's not going to be like a Category 5. They said maybe not even a Category 4. But it could cause some problems along the northern coast. And then when you stretch up north of that, if you get into the coastal Carolinas, that could cause some problems.
I have been in a couple of hurricanes. Actually, one of them was in New Jersey. We were down the shore. And my cousin and I went out to the beach before the storm hit just to see how strong the wind was. Oh, my God. She actually was being blown away. She could not stand against it. It was pushing her. She was small, but it was pushing her all the way down the beach. She couldn't resist against the wind at all. And I was in Florida for one as well, at my grandparents' house, and they had all the shutters, and they had them all up on the windows, and we were, like, hunkered down in the house for four straight days. It kind of sucked because you couldn't do anything, but
yeah, I lived on the other side of Florida, so we never got hit with anything. You'd get some storms, but, you know, you get some flash flooding and some thunderstorms, you know, but I've never been in... I've never been in any kind of serious natural disaster. I've never been hit with a hurricane nor a tornado. I was in Alaska once when a volcano blew, but it wasn't, you know, didn't cause like destruction or anything. It just dumped a bunch of ash on us and, you know, shut down an airport for like a day and a half.
That counts as a natural disaster.
Does it?
Yeah.
No one died. There was no like major...
You don't have to die in a hurricane to have it be a hurricane. I mean, well, you could still experience it.
My point was there was nothing like major done. Like, I couldn't fly home for, like, a day and a half. It was Mount Spur, like, in the 90s. It blew up, and I don't know, it was, like, after the apocalypse. Everything was gray and dark for about 2 to 3 days. And quite frankly, that's one of the benefits of living where we live. We don't have to deal with any of this until the hurricane hits. Or not the hurricane, but the big one, the earthquake. And then we're all screwed. Other than that, you know, we're all right out here. It's not too shabby. An Oregon man created more than 60,000 in damages after driving off-road at Crater National Park. He destroyed part of a sensitive national environment area as friends took pictures. So you can just, I just picture this jackass like you see his booking photo. He couldn't be more of just what you would think of a guy that is off-roading and tore up this land. And I love the fact they slapped him with a $60,000 fine.
You're saying it was at Crater Lake, too?
Yeah. And they did. Like, he left huge ruts and just completely tore up the ground. He was just, he was mudding. He was out there mudding. And then his friends took photos of it, and the idiots put it on online. You know, they uploaded all the footage. They, woohoo, America! And here's $60,000 in fines.
Am I imagining, now I haven't seen this person, I'm imagining that your take on what he may or may not sound like is also what he looks like?
Yeah, Evan Mentz from Grant Pass.
All right.
Jackass. Oh.
Don't destroy our national parks.
Well, to me, he and this kind of bummed me out, is that he only had to pay $200, and then the insurance company had to pay $60,000 of it. So I'm hoping that his insurance goes up just a scooch. All right, that is in the news for September 2nd, 2019. We come back, the Hot 5 at 5.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.